So here's a question that sounds like science fiction, but is very much a real engineering problem right now. What happens when you try to run a data center? The kind of massive AI compute farm that's eating up power all over the planet. Not on Earth, but in orbit? Turns out the hardest part isn't getting the computers up there. It's keeping them from cooking themselves. Today we're digging into the recent progress on cooling space-based data centers and why heat, of all things, might be the single biggest thing standing between us and computers in the sky. Let me start with the core of the problem, because it all comes down to physics you can't argue with. Down here on Earth, when a computer gets hot, we have easy ways to whisk that heat away. We blow air across it with fans. We run chilled water through pipes and dump the heat into cooling towers. All of that works because we're surrounded by stuff, air, water, that can physically carry heat away through convection and conduction. There's always somewhere for the heat to go. Now go to space. Space is a vacuum. And a vacuum is, by definition, nothing. There's no air to blow, no water to circulate to some external environment, nothing to carry the heat away by touch or by flow. So every last bit of waste heat your computers generate has to leave the one way that still works in a vacuum, radiation. You have to literally beam the heat away as infrared electromagnetic waves, the same way a hot stove radiates warmth you can feel from across the room. And here's the catch. How well you can do that is capped by just two things: how hot your radiating surface is, and its emissivity, which is basically how good that surface is at giving off heat as radiation. That's it. That's your whole toolkit. So that's challenge number one, the heat rejection mechanism. But it gets harder, because the scale of the heat we're talking about has exploded. Modern AI workloads run incredibly hot. We're talking tens, even hundreds of kilowatts per server rack, and they run flat out, continuously, around the clock. Now compare that to what we've actually flown in space before. The International Space Station handles thermal loads in the tens of kilowatts total. So to run an AI data center in orbit, you're not talking about a modest step up. You're talking about jumping to megawatt-class heat rejection. That's a monumental leap over anything humanity has ever cooled in space. And how do you radiate all that heat? With radiator panels. Which brings us to the next headache, because those panels come with some brutal trade-offs. First, mass. Radiator panels are heavy, often somewhere between 5 and 9 kilograms for every square meter. And when you're trying to reject AI-scale heat, you need a lot of square meters, so the total mass balloons fast. That matters enormously because launching mass to orbit costs thousands of dollars per kilogram. Every extra panel is a very expensive panel. Then there's orientation, which is trickier than it sounds. For a radiator to actually work, it needs to face cold, deep space, and crucially, it needs to avoid direct sunlight, because sunlight pouring onto your radiator heats it right back up and kills your net heat rejection. But here's the tension. You've also got solar panels that want to face the sun to make power, and antennas that need to point at Earth to communicate. So the radiators want to look one way, the solar panels want to look the other, and now your whole spacecraft is fighting with itself over which way to point. That's a real conflict in attitude control, the way the spacecraft holds its position. And it's not even steady. As the spacecraft moves through its orbit, its exposure to the sun keeps changing, so the radiator's effectiveness rises and falls throughout every single orbit. Which means you need clever systems just to keep the cooling performance consistent as conditions shift under you. Now here's the part one find genuinely fascinating, the deep, almost cruel irony at the heart of this whole thing. People get excited about space data centers partly because space offers this abundant, uninterrupted supply of solar energy. Free power, basically, streaming in constantly. But think about where that energy goes. Every single watt of electricity your compute hardware consumes eventually turns into waste heat. All of it. So the more solar power you add to run more computers, the more heat you generate, and the harder your rejection problem becomes. Power and heat are two ends of the same stick, and that sets a fundamental physical ceiling on how much computing you can pack into one spacecraft. You can't just bolt on more solar panels and call it a day. The heat follows you. Okay, so how are engineers actually attacking this? Let's walk through the cooling systems, starting from inside the machine and working our way out. It begins with liquid cooling. Inside these systems, you run a closed loop of coolant right across the hottest components, the CPUs and the GPUs, to pull heat directly off the chips and carry it away. That internal transport is essential. You have to get the heat out of the silicon before you can ever radiate it to space. But a liquid loop isn't free. It needs pumps to move the fluid, reservoirs to hold it, valves to control it, and redundancy built in so that if something fails, you don't lose the whole system. And all of that, every pump, every valve, every backup, adds mass and complexity. As for the actual coolant fluids themselves, the exact recipes tend to be proprietary, closely guarded by the companies developing them. Then there's a more sophisticated cousin, evaporative or two-phase fluid loops. These are clever. Instead of just warming up a liquid, they let the coolant actually change phase, boil from liquid into vapor. And that phase change is the trick, because when a fluid evaporates, it soaks up a huge amount of energy, what's called latent heat, all while staying at a roughly constant temperature. So you get this highly efficient way to absorb and move a lot of thermal energy without big temperature swings. The downside, managing a boiling, condensing fluid in microgravity is genuinely hard. Without gravity to keep your liquid and vapor sorted out, fluid behavior gets unpredictable, and you need precise control systems and, again, more pumps to keep it all in line. And finally, at the end of the chain, the radiators that dump the heat to space. One of the big ideas here is deployable radiator arrays, panels that fold up compact for launch so they don't hog precious room inside the rocket and then unfold and expand once they're in orbit. That helps with launch volume. On the materials side, engineers are working on emissive coatings and structured surfaces, special coatings and textured surfaces designed to do two things at once. Raise emissivity, so the surface radiates heat more effectively, and lower solar absorptivity, so it soaks up less of the sunlight that would otherwise heat it back up. Now, I want to be honest here, because the sources are honest about it. These material improvements are real, but right now they deliver incremental gains, not a magic transformation. They chip away at the problem, they don't solve it. So where do the people actually building this stuff land on all of it? There's a striking consensus, and it's worth stating plainly. Thermal management isn't some secondary detail you sort out at the end. It is the central design constraint, the gatekeeper for the entire future of orbital computing. It's the thing that will ultimately decide whether space data centers stay cool experimental concepts or grow into real, scalable, economically viable infrastructure. And you hear that reflected at the top. Dylan Taylor, the CEO of Voyager Technologies, gave what was described as a sobering assessment in early 2026. His words, "Cooling remains one of the most serious technical barriers facing space-based computing infrastructure." He went further. He cast real doubt on hitting a two-year deployment timeline even under aggressive, optimistic assumptions, and he pointed straight at the cooling challenge as the reason. When the CEO is tempering expectations, you know the physics is pushing back hard. So what does the road ahead actually look like? A few things stand out. First, the plain truth that today's approaches don't cleanly scale up to the multi-megawatt waste heat that modern AI data centers throw off. To get there, we need genuine breakthroughs, lightweight, reliable cooling systems that don't yet exist in the form we'd need. Second, integrated design. Thermal management has to be baked in from the very first design phase, not bolted on later. That means thinking about power generation and heat rejection together, optimizing how the whole spacecraft orients itself, and fighting to keep mass down at every turn. And third, keep pushing the frontier, continued research into deployable radiators, into those two-phase fluid loops, and into the advanced material science behind better emissive coatings. That's the work that could eventually tip space-based computing from science project to sound economics. So let me leave you with this. The vision is genuinely compelling. A network of solar-powered compute platforms circling the Earth, humming away on free sunlight. But the thing standing between us and that future isn't a lack of ambition or even a lack of power. It's heat. It's the stubborn, unglamorous problem of how to throw away waste heat when there's nothing out there to throw it into. Crack that thermal problem, and orbital computing becomes real. Don't, and it stays a niche curiosity. Either way, next time someone tells you the future of AI is in space, you'll know the real question to ask. Yeah, but how are they going to keep it cool? Thanks for listening. I'll catch you in the next one.